I like it when Christmas falls on a Sunday, because, like it does this year, because Advent feels more complete. We get the whole 4 weeks, and this Mass is the completion of those 4 weeks. Started on the first Sunday 4 weeks ago, and now Saturday morning we get to our last Advent Mass. Perhaps I say this every year, but it strikes me every year. This really is the last Advent Mass, because in the parishes there's no more Masses this morning. This is the latest Mass that I know of that takes place in the whole country. Because everyone has a 4 a.m. Mass. Some parishes have a 5 or 5:30 Mass. So here it is, the last Mass of Advent. And we, again, like I mentioned yesterday, have a gospel that doesn't mention Jesus. Yesterday, there was no mention of Jesus because it was all focused on the birth and the naming of John the Baptist. Today, we listen to the great canticle of John's father, Zechariah. Zechariah doesn't know Jesus yet, but he knows the Messiah is coming. I don't think anybody knew Jesus' name except for Joseph and Mary, and they knew it because the angel told them. But until he's born, which is what we celebrate tonight and tomorrow, and receives his name, it's still a secret. And yet, in this prophecy of Zechariah, there is a very clear, actually a couple of clear mentions of the coming of the one. It doesn't mention him by name, but he says the God of Israel has come to set his people free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior. That's Jesus Christ. And then at the end of the canticle, it says that in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. That dawn from on high is a prophetic symbol of the Messiah, the daylight breaking into the darkness of the world. So that's what we celebrate tonight. Let's go back, though, for a moment, and we recall the experience of Zechariah over the past, for him, 9 months. Because this is the first thing he says after 9 months of silence. You know what happened. He was serving in the temple. He saw the angel. The angel told him his wife was going to give birth to a son. Zechariah hesitated about that. Seems pretty far-fetched. I mean, he's old. His wife is old. They never had any children. And the angel says, well, since you don't believe me, you'll be silent until it all comes true. And that's what happened. He never said another word until this canticle. I like to reflect on his experience of those 9 months. Certainly they were a spiritual journey, an interior journey. Couldn't probably do any of his regular ministry because he was silenced. He was on a long retreat. The two most significant events of that 9 months, first of all, when he discovers that his wife is pregnant, that would have been the first indication that his doubts were really unfounded and what that angel told him in the temple was really true. So his wife is pregnant. She goes into seclusion for 5 months, it says in the scriptures. And then in the sixth month, all of a sudden Mary shows up. And that was the turning point for Zechariah's 9 month retreat. He's 6 months silenced, and all of a sudden here comes this young peasant girl from the province, a relative of his wife, and she bursts into a song of praise. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Elizabeth had already said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So Zechariah must have heard all this and said, well, something different has happened. Something new is on the horizon here. My wife isn't the only one to experience a miraculous pregnancy. This young woman is Mary of Nazareth. And for the next 3 months, Zechariah is still silent, but Mary is in his house. Now, of course, Mary is the example of faith. She's the perfect example of how to respond to the word let the Word be made flesh in us. Mary is, in those 3 months, carrying the Word made flesh right in her womb. Maybe it's not obvious because 3 months is still pretty early, but the Lord is there living in Zechariah's house. It's not that Mary would sit down and give Zechariah an instruction. That would be so out of place. After all, he's an older man and he's a priest. He's probably at least upper class, middle class. And Mary is definitely a poor girl from the province. I mean, it would be something like the phenomenon I know here in Manila, a middle class and upper class families often take a relative from the province to come and help out in the household. That's probably how Zechariah looked at Mary, probably like a domestic helper. Although maybe not completely because she was a relative of his wife. But still, there's no way he would expect her to sit down and school him in the spiritual life. And yet, by her way of life, by her expression of faith and hope and love, by something about the way she carried herself and served Elizabeth and served in the household, her humility, her goodness, certainly did school Zechariah in the spiritual life. He must have learned from her how to respond when God gives a word. And the proof of it is that when he finally gets a chance to speak, he utters this beautiful canticle. It sounds a lot like the Magnificat. Did you notice that? It's a song of praise. It's a song of thanksgiving. It's a proclamation of God's faithfulness to his promises. That's what Mary said 3 months earlier. Well, what do you think Zechariah was thinking about for those 3 months? The same beautiful truths that God acts on behalf of his people, that God is faithful to his promises, that God has a plan of salvation, and it's unfolding before our eyes. Remember, Mary's Magnificat, she pronounced when the child was still, when Jesus was still in her womb. In fact, newly conceived, there was nothing to see. Her proclamation of praise of God is based on extraordinary faith. Zechariah doesn't break out into song until he sees this child born, and he gives the child his name, and then he receives the power of speech. But there's a similar spirit to it. And notice the kind of faith that Zechariah expresses. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He's not talking about John the Baptist. He's not the one to set his people free. He's talking about that three-month-old fetus in the womb of Mary. He can't see him. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. He's not born yet. He says he's born of the house of his servant David. Zechariah is not from the house of David. He's not talking about John the Baptist. He's talking about Jesus. So you see what he's doing here. He's making a proclamation of faith, something that he can't see yet with his eyes. The child isn't born yet. He's got 6 more months. But he can see with the eyes of faith. And that's why this is an important Advent proclamation, this prophecy of Zechariah, because we have to have learned in these 4 weeks, or we should have learned, how to see not just with our eyes, but with faith. And this is what Zechariah sees. He sees the mighty Savior born of the house of his servant David, and this Savior is the fulfillment of all the promises of the prophets, the promise to be set free, the promise to be saved from our enemies, the promise to be able to worship God without fear, holy and righteous in his sight. That's what we celebrate before we see it happening. After all, the journey of faith, we know this, continues beyond the season of Advent. Even after we celebrate Jesus' birth, there's a lot of God's plan that we do not yet see. Our circumstances of life will be the same tomorrow as they are today, for the most part. There'll still be a war in Ukraine. There'll still be economic crisis. There'll still be people suffering, families that are broken. I was at a Novena Mass last night. A man came up to me, asked for prayers for his grandchild, his granddaughter. She's been in the hospital since the day she was born. He showed me a picture of the girl. I could hardly see her, so many tubes and bandages, and she's had open heart surgery. And I said, oh man, this girl, you know, all she's done in the few weeks of her life is suffer in the hospital. Is that girl going to go home from the hospital tonight because it's Christmas Eve? Probably not. Will she be in the hospital on Christmas Day? Probably. Will her parents be there in the hospital with their daughter? Probably. You say, well, how can you say Merry Christmas to a couple like that? Well, because we see with faith that the goodness of God, which we can't see with our eyes when we see people suffering, is still at work. We're still in darkness and in the shadow of death. And yet, the dawn from on high will break upon us. Now, this is what happens when we celebrate tonight. The midnight mass is in the darkness. You can't see the sun in the middle of the night, but you know it's going to rise. That's faith. You don't know when, but you know the sun is going to rise. You know that God will shine on his people. And this is what Zechariah is proclaiming. This is what he's doing, and this is what the church is inviting us to do. To look with faith at the situation of the present with eyes toward the future. The last part of his canticle, he says, he turns to his own son, John. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way. We know that is the message, the mission of John the Baptist, to prepare the way. And the preparation is, give people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Let people know that there's a way out of the trap of sin. Let people know that there's freedom from sin. That's good news, and it's news that must be proclaimed. Zechariah says, okay, my son, I mean, he's only 8 days old. He probably doesn't understand what his father's saying, but we know what he's saying. Yeah, this is your mission, but it's also captured in the Word of God for us. It's our mission too, to make known the way of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. The good news is that the child to be born tonight, Christmas Eve, is the way out of the trap of sin. He himself is the dawn, the daylight breaking onto us who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. He's the one, Jesus, who guides our feet into the way of peace. This is what we're celebrating with joy in anticipation now, what we'll celebrate tonight and tomorrow with joy in the revelation of the Word made flesh. And this is the journey of faith that continues as we go forth.